please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Oh, that's right. Committee of the Whole, that's right.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here.
Please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Committee of the Whole, for those that are in the audience. The subject matter that we're going to be taking up tonight is emergency notification system. Update 2011-2012 pertussis, whooping cough outbreak, open burning permits and invasive species, and D, recycling handling for condominiums. And then we're going to go into the Common Council meeting. So with that, start off with emergency notification system, June 2012 public health preparedness exercise. Thank you, Mr. Worker.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Common Council. Thank you for this opportunity, and we will be brief given the extent of your agendas this evening to discuss the emergency notification system and a June 2012 public health preparedness exercise. With me this evening is public health nurse Kristen Anderson. She's the primary lead on our preparedness activities. I would like her to briefly tell you about how we've been using the emergency notification system here. Kristen?
I'll keep it very brief. The health department is clearly better prepared now that we have purchased the emergency notification system along with the city of Franklin. We were able to use it for the first time in May. We had an exercise in June, and then we followed up with a tour for the volunteers. Originally, what we did was send out a letter to everybody who had previously indicated they wanted to be a volunteer. We put them into groups, and they gave us into groups inside of the system. They gave us their contact information, and we tested it for the first time in May. We were able to push out 746 messages. We sent out phone messages, email, and text messages all within 15 minutes. And we never would have been able to do that to hundreds of people that are in the system. And it's important for us to get a hold of these people very quickly if we would ever able or if we ever needed to open a mass clinic. So in June, we did open our mass clinic. We had an exercise over there. And once again, we tested the system. We invited the volunteers to come join us. Those that were able to make it came and had a tour of the Mass Clinic site, and we ended with letting them know that we're going to be following up with a newsletter instead of overusing the system. That is our future plan. So just all in all, the emergency notification system has really given us an ability to contact volunteers very quickly, which is essential for us to be able to open our Mass Clinic.
Great. Any questions or comments?
Doc, so
I want to go on to item D.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Pertussis or whooping cough is an acute cough illness. Since last July, Wisconsin has experienced a statewide outbreak of pertussis. Approximately 4,000 cases have been diagnosed in Wisconsin this year. 70 counties have reported cases of pertussis. Four counties, Dane, Onagamie, Waukesha, and Milwaukee, by far have had the most cases of pertussis. In Milwaukee County this year, there have been over 350 cases identified, and for reasons that I cannot fully explain, 70 of those cases have been here in Franklin. Our acute communicable disease referrals are, in fact, up 70% this year compared to the same time period, January through August of last year. And the increase is directly related to pertussis. In the report that I've given you, the August 15th pertussis report from the State Department of Health, on page 4, figure 4, you'll witness what we're experiencing here in Franklin, and that most cases are children, 5 through 14 years of age. Of particular interest, most of these cases are fully immunized. And not surprisingly, the effectiveness of the vaccine has come into question. Vaccine protection itself may be waning sooner than previously thought. Nonetheless, unvaccinated children are 8 times more likely to contract this acute cough illness than a fully vaccinated child. State and federal officials continue to believe that vaccination is the safest and most effective way to prevent disease. Anecdotally, we have seen only isolated single cases of disease or perhaps small clusters of disease spreading amongst very close contacts. Lastly, despite significant case management increase by the public health nurses, and keep in mind that each diagnosed case carries with it 7 to 14 contact follow-ups, but in addition to increased case management and heightened surveillance within the city, your public health staff has maintained its core services. The summer period saw no real decrease in referrals. Children went from school settings to other social settings. With the beginning of the school year, the possibility of more pertussis cases is very real. We will continue to work closely with families, schools, daycares, churches, and employers to control and suppress this outbreak. And as the health officer, I appreciate your continued support and interest about this communicable disease update. Thank you.
Questions? Comments?
No. Great job.
None? Yes, thank you very much. Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Sorry for the hurriedness, but we have a number of people waiting for big issues. Not to say that you didn't have any. You have open burning permits and invasive species as well, and the fire chief. Chief Martins, how are you?
Good evening. Good evening. The issue of burning came up recently, Mr. Mayor, as you know, and you had sort of directed Bill Wooker and I to come back with some information on this. And it seems like there's a history here in Franklin, at least in the recent history of kind of looking at this issue every 10 years. Back in the early 90s, it was looked at and to see what sort of problems we're having with it and amount of burning permits and things of that nature. And the numbers that I pulled from the files were we were doing around 900 burn permits at that time. But our complaints or calls that the fire department was responding to were about 20 on the average. Fast forward to 20 years later, the burn permits are down significantly from that. We're averaging 375-ish now over the last several years. And the complaints are about in the 15 to 20 range, like they were back 20 years ago. Back when I became chief in around 2002, 2003, I was asked by Mayor Clements at the time to look at the burning issue. And pretty much what we decided to do at that time was to tighten up some of the regulations that we had in Franklin to try and put a tighter management on the issue so that when complaints and citizens had some concerns, we had the ability to shut people down if it was bothering the neighbors or anything else that came up that was of a public issue, that the public had complaints about. So pretty much that's kind of where we're at now, the same level of complaints. Burn permits are down, so a small percentage of the community is actually burning, although we do have subdivisions that are more congested than the rural areas of the city. We do not see any significant increase in fires related to open burning of a problem where we're having some fires that are getting away from people that are burning. Being a fire chief, anytime people are burning with stuff makes me very nervous. But the burn complaints are pretty consistent over the last 20 years, and I think that was the information you wanted me to bring back to the council to look at as far as this issue is concerned.
Yeah. Let me. My understanding is individuals, if they want a burn permit, they come in, they visit the city clerk. City clerk gives them an application, fill out the application, and the application is then forwarded to the fire department.
Yes, that's correct.
Where someone, either yourself or someone else in the fire department, reviews them and either sees them that they're reasonable or not reasonable. There's a there might be a likelihood of some possible problems with it or no problems. And then maybe I'm sure you might even look at a history to see if you've had problems with people, you know, where there's been complaints in the past. Is that pretty much it?
Well, that's fairly accurate. I mean, we look to make sure, you know, the commercial buildings are not allowed to do any open burning in the community. This is pretty strictly, you know, for residential properties in Franklin. And certainly, if we get an incident and we look back at it then to see what sort of history we've had at that particular address, and then, of course, if we've got some problems there, we'll follow up a little closer on it then. But to my knowledge, and we've looked at this over the last month or so, that there is no pattern of any particular area that I know of, other than one that was brought forward a couple months ago when we were here, that there was a system of any one particular burning next to their property.
Okay. When, a couple of the reasons I asked that this be referred to both you and Bill was that in the letters that we received, that there were issues of potential carcinogenics that could be transmitted via the smoke to another person, to a neighboring property. And there's also the issue, I believe, in the letters that we received regarding people that may have conditions like asthma, et cetera, that could be affected by this, by the smoke. To be very frank with you, I'm not a health professional. I don't think many of the aldermen are either. And so we look to the two of you two as our experts to go back and to investigate this and see if, in fact, there's potential harm to the public and what steps could be taken if, in fact, there are. So. And I guess I would also ask both of you for maybe your recommendations to Common Council regarding the current ordinances and guidelines and practices that we have in place.
With regards to the health effects of open burning, I share with you, Mr. Mayor, your concern about the possibility of carcinogenic materials floating up in the smoke of an open burn. And that clearly was a concern that espoused by the Federal Environmental Protection Agency. Their definition of open burning allows just about anything to be thrown into the fire, shingles, plastics, anything really. But that is not the definition of open burning here in the city of Franklin. It's restricted to leaves, garden refuse, and brush. And as such, the closest we're going to get to a pollutant is the particulate matter and possibly some carbon monoxide that would be dispersed in the cloud of or the smoke. That is problematic, and the conclusion that I've reached in my position paper that I forwarded to the Common Council in tonight's packet is that, in general, healthy adults are not at a major risk to adverse health effects associated with open burning. For most healthy adults, exposure to open burning smoke is mild and transient. However, there are groups, children and adults, which do comprise a large percentage of the general population, 28%, or an even better defined group of up to 11% of people who have asthma, that the adverse health effects triggered by the smoke could occur. Bronchial spasms, lung irritant, corneal abrasion, and as the chief is very concerned, burns. Nonetheless, state and local health officials have a difficulty here because there's no hard or fast rule about how to best advise the general public about particle pollutants that rise for only a few hours, so it's a transient and mild exposure. So my conclusion was that open burning does not cause underlying health or heart or lung conditions, but for individuals that are at risk, there are adverse health effects associated with open burning. And the open burning itself may trigger those health effects that I've enumerated.
Do you feel that we need to alter or amend our current ordinances, or will the ordinances that we have in place be able to handle this, continue to handle this?
Currently, using unique addresses, I discovered 97% of people do not open burn. They find other ways of composting, recycling, or using the landfill to dispose of their garden, shrubbery, leaves or refuse. Currently, I find the ordinance works, it's effective, and I don't see a reason to change it. It's a legal activity. Wisconsin DNR has provided it for an exemption for open burning as we define it.
Chief Martin.
Well, like I said before, as a fire chief, anytime people are burning, we always have concerns about fires being left unattended, people being careless with the burning materials, which can always cause a problem. We haven't had a significant history in Franklin of that problem. We do have a unique situation in Franklin, where we have a rural and an urban area, basically, here. And because of that, there's a tradition that people are used to burning their yard waste and things like that. I think when we looked at this in 2003, the consideration at that time was to maybe look at separating out different parts of the city and maybe banning burning in one area and not another. That would fall more on law enforcement than to police that. And I think that would be difficult. And then you're going to have an individual saying, well, I can burn here. That guy was burning there. Why can't I burn here? So I think it causes that problem. So I think at this point, it should be continually under review and monitored very closely, but I think we do not see any significant problems in our stats and any of our data that we've been keeping as far as an alarming problem with the burning of yard waste at this point.
Alderman Schmidt?
First of all, I want to commend both of you for putting together a very detailed memorandum here in digesting all this information and coming up with your conclusions. I understand from what it states here that you said only Hales Corners prohibits open burning.
That's correct.
So the rest of the communities have not gone to that extent of restrictions.
In the surrounding counties, villages, and townships, that is correct.
Alderman Solomon?
I have a question. What if you have a continuous burns and you have the thymbosine advertisement?
Well, this is how it works for us all. If we get a call that somebody has a smoke complaint from them, a fire in their yard, an open burning, we'll go over there immediately and check that out. If the smoke conditions are such that it could be aggravating the individuals living in that property adjacent to that where that fire is, we'll shut them down.
Okay. So let's have them. Thank you.
Okay. So if an alderman has an issue or it comes to their attention, probably should contact the fire chief.
Mm-hmm. We would recommend that a citizen give us a call. We'll check it out.
Alderman Skronsky, you have
any? No, I represent more of the rural part of the city, and I have had no complaints from anybody, whether it's in the subdivisions or the rural areas, regarding open burning. They're all pretty due and diligent in what they're doing, and I don't see any problem whatsoever with what we have.
Alderman Wilma?
Well, I again represent the more desert populated area, and I do get calls and complaints of open burning folks and do have. In fact, I had someone just before the meeting contacted me that his girlfriend has asthma and she lives in Franklin and she can't have anything out on her patio several times a year because of the happening. So since it's gone down from 900 permits to 375 permits, we're talking about 375 people wanting to burn a year, which is much of the population, frankly. And you probably have more senior citizens that are affected by the health of the smoke, between health and children and seniors that are affected by that, than the 375 permits. So which people get the better say? The people that are jeopardizing their health, or the people that 375 people that get to burn and cause property owner not to be able to use their porch or go in their backyard. And then I guess there are a couple options I think we should at least do, and that would be education in our newsletter about the options, such as where you can take this instead of burning, letting them know that there are people nearby them that have health conditions that they should be considering. That's an article we should at least be attempting. The other thing could be a consideration for a ban by date, so you get people prepped up for that. A ban by date, where you would ban burning by the date of 2016, and so you have until this amount of time to you know, rework your practices or that. That gives plenty of notice and time that some change might be coming. Another option for those people that do have health conditions is sort of like they do with the pesticide notification law, where if you're extremely sensitive, you are on a list, and if someone comes in and pulls a permit right next to you, they're required to check and see if, you know, they're on the list, and then that person gets notified that on this day, you know, someone pulled a permit. So they at least have the opportunity to, you know, go out of town or close their window or something like that. So it doesn't sound like doing 375 permits, it doesn't sound like it would be a lot for people to notify the people that want to be notified and sell it for you. So you won't be able to do much about people that don't book permits.
One thing we've done, and we can do it again this fall, is we can get a letter or article out to Lisa to remind everyone about the burn regulations and be cognizant of the neighbors. And also that the time element is something that I was saying from October 15th, I think it is, and then November, I think it falls into the offer of leaves and twigs and brush and things like that. The other part about telling neighbors, are you suggesting that the fire department would take on that responsibility if that was the decision of the council to notify neighbors of the
I didn't put a lot of time suggesting how the policy is. I don't really know.
I can see that being a difficulty.
Who makes all, I think it's up to the pesticide application, it's up to the applicator to make the phone calls. So if, you know, I came in to get a burn permit and my neighbor wanted to be put on this list, then the address next to me would be, you know, I'd be told about it, and then it would be up to me to call them and say, hey, I do have a burn permit, and I just want to let you know so you can close your windows. You know, so, I mean, it's being neighborly besides, you know. And so that's an option. We do have several options to protect
most
the
of the
health
time,
of people.
The citizens that we get a call for a complaint and we go over and see it's a smoke issue that's aggravating the neighbor, we ask them to shut it down, no problem. They do. So it's most, you know, you always can have a couple that aren't going to cooperate. I got to write the burn, but most of the time they're very cooperative. They understand that they're bothering their neighbor. Shut it down.
I think as the rest of the city gets more dense and populated, eventually we'll probably and they have to. Or that there won't be any choice, but right now we have 375 people that still want to work.
Alderman Olson?
Two of them are in my district. Well, two are in my district of that 375, of which I've received a complaint. And the solution is really quite simple. First thing is the fire department goes over and sees that there's an issue, and they tell me to put it out. 99 times out of 100, the neighbor's going to put it out. At the same time, the neighbors got to know their neighbors and understand that if a neighbor who has asthma lives next door, you really ought not be burning. And that's a neighbor-to-neighbor issue. The city ought not be the one.
Alderman Skratzky?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just common sense, and let's all start using our brains and a little more courtesy with our neighbors. So if somebody's out there burning, you know, let them burn, but just be a little conscious of what's going on. We don't need any more government interfering with people's lives. I mean, just because you're out there burning leaves and stuff like that, let's be a little more reasonable and courteous to our neighbors and stuff like that. But thank God we don't need any more regulations.
Well done.
Well, I like to use a term I keep hearing from the city attorney. In the real world, and in the perfect world, that's the way it would work. But it's not going to work that way. And we're going to continue to have the complaints, and eventually we'll be probably having to moving toward that, but it doesn't sound like the council is ready to do that at this point. So I think discussing the health issues along with the burning options, I'd like people to know about the options of where you can take it at the landfill, what the hours are, the options about composting, and some of those things that people do with yard waste. That would be a helpful thing for everyone. So that's what I'd like to see us suggest when it comes up to council. Thanks.
Yeah, there is a city newsletter due at this time, so this would be the time to put it in.
Maybe you could couple that with the extended hours and the days of operations at the landfill for people who have been held there. It's no longer just open on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It's 6 days a week. At the committee of the whole meeting, we talk about things, and then later on, when we get to the end of the common council meeting, the alderman may or may not vote on items depending on what they select. So with that, I'm going to move to the next item, and that's item 20D, recycling handling condominiums for item 4. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I'm not really sure why this came back, because I thought we had resolved that within the John's contract, but I did notice that some of the condo contacts are not up to date, so if we're going to be sending anything out, they're probably not going to get that. Some of them don't have those same management owners anymore.
We will get an update from the residents. The council asked for that. What I did hand out was a listing. Basically, it's our first thing is our billing, which it lists all the numbers, so you have the numbers. And then the last sheet on that is kind of a control sheet on whether they have bins, dumpsters, or carts. And I do think you're correct that I think we solved most of the problems at the last meeting, but it was still requested to be on the agenda.
I think that within that letter that's going to go to them, I'm not sure people realize, there are very few people that realize that the garbage fee came out of the tax roll and now is a separate fee on the bill. And the condo management companies probably aren't going to understand that either. So some of these people that are contracting out their own collection may now have not noticed it in the past because it was all part of a tax bill as one bunch. Now there's a separate. So if they're not paying attention to that, they're going to be paying by contracting out, and they'll be getting that bill on their taxes. So it might be important to know to them that city payment is part of that process. So if they're paying once, they shouldn't be paying twice.
I think after last year, I think they realized that.
So it's become kind of a non-issue. There's not going to be any addition or amendments to the current contract. No actions for reconsideration or anything?
Oh, I don't know. I always hate having stuff dropped in my lap the night of the meeting, but I'll go through it. And, I may still have some questions myself on this.
I think everybody's saying, Alderman Skronsky, is that when the issue came up, it was good for discussion, but that was all ironed out in the contract that the Common Council approved last meeting. So it's sort of not an issue.
That's the way you want to go.
Okay. I'm going to play all the ones around.
If I could just clarify, there was nothing additional put in front of you this evening related to the site fees. I want somebody to think that something was distributed. It was related.
Then why is this laid here?
That is not item
2D. All right. We have.
Thank you.
Anything else for the committee of the whole?
Move to adjourn.
Invasive species?
Yeah. Anything? I just, not to put any pressure on you, but we do have a lot of people sitting in a very uncomfortable room on hardback chairs, but don't feel any pressure.
I could skip to the end. We are recommending little or no change to city ordinances and policies. If anything, we'll keep an eye open for opportunities for public education, and that's what we're recommending. We did identify other options, but we are only recommending that opportunities arise for public education.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, there is one really good opportunity, and that's these properties that the city ends up getting easements on that aren't being maintained and are becoming just overtaken with invasive species. And that would be something that the city attorney had talked about one time about looking at the changes to conservation easements. So if the city attorney ever gets his plate cleared off enough to look at that, that might be a great addition to that document.
Okay. Okay. Is there a motion for the city attorney?
I'll second it.
That, a few years ago when I did bring the standard city form conservation to the back of the council,
Alderman Olson.
I believe that prior to that, there is a clause in them that points out that the maintenance of these units is responsible for the person to which we're voting.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn the committee of the whole?
So moved.
Is there a second? Then moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are now going to.